Welcome to Mr. Kak and Me. I am Mr. Kak. I am back from a long absence, and I will tell you more about that later, but right now, I want to let you know what today's episode is about. That's right, on today's podcast, I am going to let ChatGPT write a murder mystery. I am going to go through and I'm going to read the chapters as ChatGPT comes up with them, and let you be the judge on, do we have a hit here, or is the AI off base in developing our murder mystery? Now, to let you know that I have been gone for a while, I appreciate everyone that stuck around, I appreciate everyone that's coming back, I appreciate everyone that has enjoyed any of my content. If you've noticed in some of the last episodes before I disappeared, there were things weighing on my heart, my soul, my emotions, and I was just feeling kind of drained. I'll talk more about that, but today's episode is not going to be that emotionally heavy. It's going to be pure nonsense, as I regale you with a tale that a computer made up. So, the story on today's agenda has been titled Shadows of Deceit. Chapter 1, A Silent Echo. Rain poured down heavily, turning the cobblestone streets of Ravenbrook into a shimmering maze of reflections. A haunting mist rose from the ground, obscuring the moon's light and cloaking the ancient town in an eerie silence. Detective Michael Carter stood at the crime scene, his eyes fixed on a lifeless body sprawled across the damp alleyway. The victim, a middle-aged man dressed in a tattered suit, laid motionless under the faint glow of a flickering street lamp. His eyes stared vacantly at the gloomy heavens, and a deep gash across his throat told the tale of a gruesome end. "Another one, Michael," said Detective Sarah Adams, his trusted partner stepping beside him with an umbrella shielding him from the relentless downpour. "The butcher strikes again." Michael's mind raced with the memories of past murder scenes connected to the elusive serial killer known as the Butcher. The moniker had been given to him due to the trademark mutilation of the victim's bodies, leaving a gruesome and horrifying signature.
"He's escalating,"
Michael said grimly, a mix of determination and frustration in his eyes.
"We need to catch him before he claims another life."
As the two detectives began their investigation, they found themselves trapped in a web of secrets and lies that seemed to shroud the town of Ravenbrook. The community appeared tight-knit on the surface, but beneath the facade of unity, dark undercurrents pulsed, threatening to drown them in a sea of deception. Each interview with potential witnesses and suspects revealed contradictions, alibis with gaps, and lingering glances that spoke of the hidden truths. The butcher's identity remained a mystery, and the clues seemed to lead them in circles. Amidst the chaos of the investigation, Michael received an anonymous letter tucked into the folds of his raincoat. The ominous message contained cryptic clues, as though mocking the detective's futile efforts to apprehend the killer. Sarah noticed the change in Michael's demeanor. "What's wrong?" she asked, concerned, etched on her face. Michael hesitated before showing her the letter.
"I don't know who sent it, but they claim to know something about the butcher," he said, trying to hide the apprehension in his voice.
Sarah scanned the words, her brows furrowing in deep thought. "This could be a trap, Michael. We can't afford to take the risks." As the rain continued to fall, an unsettling realization washed over them both. The killer was toying with them, drawing them deeper into the chilling dance of death. Every step forward seemed to lead to more questions than answers, and the darkness that cloaked the town tightened its grip. With renewed determination, Michael vowed to unravel the secrets of Ravenbrook, to shed light on the shadows of deceit that obscured the truth. He knew that time was running out, and the next victim could be just around the corner. In the heart of the storm, Detective Michael Carter prepared to embark on a treacherous journey through the twisted alleyways of Ravenbrook, determined to bring justice to those whose voices had been silenced. As the first chapter of this murder mystery drew to a close, he could feel the ominous presence of the butcher lurking, waiting for the next silent echo in the night. End of chapter 1. All right, now let's do chapter 2. Continue with chapter. All right, so the ChatGPT is giving me the story right now, and we are. I hope you enjoy this. I hope this is interesting. I'm sorry my voices aren't great, but hopefully you understand me. All right, chapter 2, Whispers in the Wind.
The following day, the gray clouds that had loomed over Ravenbrook started to recede, allowing sunlight to filter through the town's narrow streets. But even as the sun painted the buildings with a warm glow, Detective Michael Carter couldn't shake the feeling that darkness still clung to the shadows. His thoughts kept drifting back to the letter. Was it truly from someone with information about the butcher? Or was it a sinister distraction leading them away from the truth? Michael knew that he couldn't act hastily, but he also couldn't ignore the possibility that this anonymous tip might be the key needed to crack the case. Determined to investigate discreetly, Michael confided in Sarah and decided to keep the letter between the two of them. They began retracing their steps, revisiting the crime scenes, and examining the evidence with fresh eyes. Each detail became puzzle pieces that they worked tirelessly to fit them together, hoping to catch a glimpse of the bigger picture. In the midst of their investigation, Michael's attention was drawn to an old bookshop nestled in the corner of Ravenbrook. Blackwood's Books read through the weathered sign above the entrance. Something about the shop's mysterious aura piqued his curiosity. As he stepped inside, the smell of old leather and paper filled the air. The shop was dimly lit, its shelves stacked with dusty tomes and ancient manuscripts. An elderly man with wisps of white hair stood behind the counter, engrossing in reading a leather-bound book.
"Excuse me, sir," Michael said, approaching the counter. "I was wondering if you have any books on your local history or folklore. I'm trying to learn more about this town."
The shopkeeper glanced up, his eyes the color of aged parchment.
"Ah, the mysteries of Ravenbrook," he said in a hushed tone. "Many have sought answers within these walls."
"I'm looking for anything that might shed light on a series of recent events," Michael replied cautiously, not revealing the true nature of his investigation.
The old man nodded knowingly.
"Sometimes secrets of a town lie not in its present, but in the echoes of the past,"
he said, leading Michael into a section dedicated to local lore. As Michael skimmed through the titles, one book caught his eye: Whispers of the Forgotten, Legends of Ravenbrook. Its cover depicted a haunting scene of a dark figure disappearing into the shadows. The shopkeeper noticed Michael's interest and offered,
"That book is said to hold the tales of ancient folklore and forgotten legends. It's a rare find, but I believe you might hold what you seek."
Michael purchased the book, feeling a mix of anticipation and trepidation. Back at their office, he and Sarah delved into the pages, filled with haunting stories of the town's past. The tales spoke of hidden passages, secret societies, and a legendary figure known as the Shadow Walker. As they read on, they stumbled upon a chilling account of an unsolved series of murders that had plagued Ravenbrook decades ago. Striking similarities to the butcher's killing sent shivers down their spines. Could the butcher be emulating an ancient evil from Ravenbrook's past? Was there a connection between the folklore and the present-day murders? The possibilities seemed both improbable and tantalizing. As dusk settled over Ravenbrook, Michael and Sarah decided to take a walk through the old town, hoping to find inspiration and answers. As they wandered the cobblestone streets, they noticed a peculiar symbol etched onto a crumbling wall, a sinister sigil that matched one described in the ancient book. The discovery sent their minds racing. Unraveling the mysteries of Ravenbrook seemed to require more than just detective work. It demanded a willingness to explore the realm of folklore, where truth and legend intertwine. With the darkness encroaching once again, they knew that their quest for answers had just begun. The whisper in the wind seemed to beckon them deeper into the heart of the enigma, toward a truth that may be both stranger and more terrifying than they could have ever imagined. And so, under the veil of twilight, Detective Michael Carter and Sarah Adams set forth on a path that would take them beyond the limits of reality, into a world where legends come to life and shadows held secrets that could unravel the truth behind the butcher's sinister reign. End of chapter 2.
All right. You know, my only critiques is I really get tired of having to say Michael Carter. Like, saying his full name is really off-putting at times, but at the same time, he doesn't have a cool enough name to stand alone. Because if I was just saying Michael a whole bunch, this would be entirely boring. But you know what? I'm interested. What do we got here? Let's see chapter 3. Proceed with chapter 3. The legend, the mystery, the folklore. I bet you weren't expecting, after chapter one, us to hold folklore as one of the prime plot points. But, gosh dang it, here we are. Chapter 3, A Veil of Shadows. The wind carried a chill through the narrow alleyways of Ravenbrook, echoing the ominous path that Michael and Sarah had embarked upon. The sigil they discovered gnawed at their thoughts, and they couldn't ignore the possibility that the ancient legend held the key to unmasking the Butcher. With a book of folklore clutched tightly in Michael's hands, they returned to the old bookshop, seeking the wisdom of the shopkeeper. The old man glanced up as they entered, his eyes seeming to pierce through the veil of reality. "We've come across something in this book," Michael began, cautiously choosing his words. "It mentioned a figure called the Shadow Walker, and a series of murders that bear similarities to the recent killings. Do you know anything about this legend?" The shopkeeper's eyes flickered with a hint of recognition, his expression somber.
"A Shadow Walker is a tale whispered in the hushed tomes. A figure said to be both guardian and harbinger of doom. The legend speaks of a dark entity that emerges when Ravenbrook faces its darkest hours, drawn to chaos and tragedy."
Sarah's skepticism seeped into her own voice. "You can't seriously believe in such myths, can you?" The old man smiled knowingly.
"In a town like Ravenbrook, where secrets run deep and shadows dance with reality, one can't help but wonder what truths lie beneath the surface."
Leaving the bookshop with more questions than answers, Michael and Sarah knew they had to investigate further. They retraced the history of the previous unsolved murders from the folklore and compared them to the current string of killings. Eerily, the patterns seemed to align, suggesting an uncanny connection that defied rational explanation. Digging deeper into the ancient tale of the Shadow Walker, they learned of a forgotten organization, the Keepers of the Veil, rumored to be tasked with guarding the delicate balance between worlds. The Keepers' existence had faded into obscurity, but whispers of their presence lingered in the folklore. As they delved into the archives of dusty records, they stumbled upon fragments of evidence that hinted at the existence of the clandestine group. Names mentioned in the town council meetings, cryptic symbols etched into long-abandoned buildings, and subtle references in local literature all pointed to a hidden society that had been woven into the very fabric of Ravenbrook. The trail led them to a crumbling mansion on the outskirts of town, an ancient structure long rumored to be cursed. Locals spoke of strange occurrences and ghostly apparitions surrounding the mansion. It was said that those who dared venture too close often vanished without a trace. With trepidation and determination in equal measures, Michael and Sarah approached the mansion's foreboding gates. The moon, concealed behind clouds, cast a pale glow over the haunting scene as they pushed open the rusted iron gates. The mansion's interior was filled with shadows that seemed to come alive and shift in their presence. They navigated the eerie halls, following a trail of faded symbols that led them deeper into the heart of the mansion. As they ventured into the depths, the air grew thick with foreboding, and an unsettling silence settled upon them. And then they heard it, a faint whisper that seemed to emanate from the very walls. The words were indistinct, but the urgency in their tone was unmistakable. The shadows seemed to draw closer, and the air hummed with an otherworldly presence. Fueled by a mix of fear and resolve, Michael and Sarah pressed on, the veil of reality thinning around them. Their journey had taken them beyond the realm of ordinary detective work. They were now on a collision course with an ancient force that defied explanation. As the mysteries of Ravenbrook deepened, the threads of legend and reality intertwined. Within the mansion's dim corridors, they sensed the truth they had sought might be both darker and more profound than anything they had encountered before. In Chapter 3, the veil of shadows began to lift, revealing hints of a hidden society in the figure of the Shadow Walker. As Michael and Sarah venture further into the heart of the mystery, they find themselves treading the line between folklore and reality, where ancient legends may hold the key to unmasking the Butcher.
The darkness that encircles Ravenbrook seems to be closing in, and the truth they seek may require them to confront forces beyond their comprehension.
All right. You can tell that the AI, for my opinion, as someone that just quickly read all of this, it seems like the AI has a stronger suit with the entry point and kind of about the midway point of its writing, and then struggles really bad when it comes to the ending. Chapter 2 was actually pretty good of an ending. So chapter 2, between the three chapters, was probably the best chapter, bar none, in comparison, for just being like a full chapter. From start to finish, it was a pretty solid chapter in comparison to the other two. Chapter 1 and chapter 3 both end by saying chapter, which it feels like a very bad faux pas, because it takes you out of trying to... If you were feeling any kind of immersion in the world that you're reading, getting to the end point and it saying, well, you've now finished chapter 3, kind of just rips you back out of it. And that feels like not the best way to handle it. But again, this is an AI, right? ChatGPT is not a perfect thing. And for as much people that got really concerned about what all AI can do, I think it's very understandable. But that AI is still a computer that is trying to take information that's given, take data that's given, and formulate it to what it thinks that you're wanting. And at least ChatGPT at this point in time, is not perfected the art of, I guess, sound writing. ChatGPT is really good at being kind of a grammar editor and giving you ideas and helping you build outlines. Like, there's a lot of very interesting ways that we can take ChatGPT right now, or just AI in general. But I can't see an AI taking over at least authors' jobs, because it's still a very flawed system right now. Maybe in the future, and maybe as these things continue to consume more and more data, then that becomes a very real reality, and then we have to fight them like the Terminator. But right now, I think if you are someone that likes to write, the future is still in your hands to take reins and build the stories, because you as a human have something that AI lacks, and that's creativity. And that's something that should not be undersold, right? Our spark of imagination is something that just isn't easily replicated, and we should both find that as a beautiful, endearing quality, and also some assurance that AI just can't completely steal our life at this point in time. But enough of that, enough of trying to bring peace between the worlds of machine and man. What did you think of Storytime with Mr. Kak? Did you enjoy this story? Would you like to see what the computer does as the story progresses and what we get when we reach the final chapter? Honestly, I think I could just type in, write the final chapter, and it would just make chapter 4 of the final chapter. But what do you think? Give me your thoughts on this first round adventure of reading a murder mystery. I know my voices need some work, so if people actually enjoy this, maybe I look to get some other people to start doing some of these voices, so that way you don't have to deal with my poor attempt at it. But I am very curious, and that this won't be the full change of format for the show. We will definitely do more of the conversation. The hope is to have guests back again, so if you've been a previous guest and would like to return, let me know by contacting me on social media. If you are someone that I haven't talked to before and would like to be on the show, please contact me through social media. So you can find me on social media, on Facebook and Instagram, I am the Mr. CAC. So THEMRCAC, the Mr. Kak, on those two platforms. On Twitter, I am Mr. Kak Show, so just MRCACSHOW. And you can just go on any of those social media websites and let me know what you think, what are your thoughts, and, you know, if you would like to join in on this adventure, or if you have suggestions for other topics. Or let me know if you have enjoyed this work of internet fiction, and if you want me to keep doing stuff like this. I would like to finish the story, but I'm also not going to press forward if no one else wants to do it. Ultimately, I hope that you've enjoyed this time, and I hope that you are having a wonderful time. You are loved. I appreciate you. I can't wait to have you back in my life again. Welcome back to Mr. Cack's neighborhood. I hope you want to be my neighbor. All right. Until next time, have a good one.